The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And, beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God speaks not in the earthquake, wind, and fire, but in a tiny whispering sound. This, I'm sure many of us have heard, this paraphrasing of today's first reading. This is probably one of the best known, most quoted, and well-loved passages in the Old Testament. And what is not to love about peace and tranquility? Those of you who are 35 years and older, like me, will agree that excitement is a joy for the young. Oftentimes, the older we get, the more we are prepared to sacrifice a lot for a quiet life. We like our evenings quiet. During the day, I can be the most extrovert person you can find. But in the evening, I'm a hermit. In our first reading, the prophet Elijah is on the run from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who are both seeking to end his life for telling the truth that they did not want to hear. He takes shelter in a cave and hides his face. Perhaps he remembers Moses, who met God on the same mountain, also amid fire, thunder, and smoke, that you can read in Exodus chapter 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 4. The first time he encountered God was in a burning bush. The tree was burning but not consumed. God told Moses no one could see his face and live. And so he sheltered Moses in the crevice of a rock, just as he shelters Elijah in a cave. But God is not manifest in the devouring fire, like that which surrounded the mountain at the giving of the law of Moses, of the law to Moses. That's why the Israelite people are afraid. In the book of Exodus, they were afraid to even go closer to the foot of Mount Sinai because they could see the peals of thunder and lightning while Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments. They said to Moses, "Go, you meet God, we will stay here." And so they approach the mountain with fear and trembling. They are afraid of God because of that thing that happens on the mountain. Elijah can hear God in the fierce crashing wind or in the earthquake. God was not in the earthquake, was not in the fire, was not in the crashing wind. It is to none of these that causes the prophet Elijah to shield his face. It is in a tiny whispering sound that Elijah hears the voice of God. In the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it translates the original Hebrew words as a sound of sheer silence. Silence can be intimidating if we are not used to it. Many of us here want to always have distractions and sounds and music. I had a classmate in the seminary that after we leave the classroom to go back to our rooms, as soon as he opens his door, he has no chance to close the door. He turns on the TV, his stereo, radio, and he puts a headset to be distracted, to listen to all kinds of noise. Why are you here, Elijah? Is the probing question that invites Elijah and all of us by extension to reflect on whether our actions and choices are leading us to fulfill our heart's deepest desires for oneness with God and God's purposes. How do we find God in the storms and struggles of our lives, in the trials we encounter in trying to do His will? In the Gospel, as the disciples in the boat fear for their safety, Jesus appears to them walking on water. I just posted this morning a beautiful painting on our Corpus Christi Facebook page, a beautiful painting of Jesus walking on the water, glowing, and the disciples are in the boat, fearful. It was painted by a Russian painter. If you have a Facebook, please like our Facebook page so you can see all those things that we do there. Through the glowy haze, they saw something unexpected. Initially, they believed Jesus to be a ghost. All those people in the ancient times, they believed in ghosts. And in the ancient world, ghosts never braved the deep waters. They stayed on land. They would not even dare to cross the water. Instead of letting them doubt what was in front of them, Jesus adds His voice to the body that they are seeing. It is the familiar voice they knew, they recognized, and they understood. The disciples come to recognize Jesus and His authority over the wind and the sea. Jesus commands the wind and the sea to be calm. God is found in the quiet stillness also in today's gospel. God hushes storms into silence and He stills the roaring waves. Sometimes it is difficult to quiet ourselves enough to hear God's voice in our lives. This requires intentionality on our part. It may mean putting our phones away during meals or not checking our email while our son or daughter tells us about their day. Who among you here still eat at their dining table? Raise your hand. Very good. Because some people use their dining table for the mail, for the Amazon boxes, for all the packages, and because they want to eat in front of the TV. The society has given us all these crazy things. Instead of eating as a family, we eat now in front of TV. That's why we have a lot of TV dinners that you can find in the frozen section of our grocery stores. The society is always teaching us to be individual, alone, not to be with other people. If you're a family, eat together. It may also mean spending some time in quiet before sunrise, or even just a moment of quiet when we can grab it in between classes or meetings. We are always afraid of silence. Why? Because during the silent time, it is the voice of God, our conscience, asking us, and we are uncomfortable when our conscience asks us a lot of questions. The first question that God asked the human being was in the Garden of Eden. The very first question that God asked humankind was in the Garden of Eden. Where are you? God was walking in the cool breeze of the afternoon after Adam and Eve committed the sin. And He asked, where are you? And Adam said, I'm here, I'm hiding. Because I did something wrong. See, we don't like that voice asking us, where are you? In the morning, I have this routine called Coffee with Jesus. I take my coffee while I do my morning prayer, either on the patio or in my home chapel. It used to be the home office. but I transformed it into a home chapel where I can pray my morning and evening prayer and celebrate Mass privately during my day off. And I talk to Jesus, entrusting to Him those who ask me to pray for them, even though I don't remember their names. There are many people who ask the priest to pray for them. I don't remember all their names, but I entrust them to Jesus in the morning or in the evening, especially in the morning when I take my coffee, but because the Lord knows all of them. Regardless of where, when, or how, we must intentionally make time. I am not saying find time, because you will never find it. Make time to be quiet. Especially those of you who are busy, I know that you will not be quiet in the morning. Everybody is running to go to work or school. In the evening, make some time to be quiet. Just as God was to Elijah in the silence, God is also present to us when we still our hearts and listen with intentionality. The life of faith is not made through spectacular leaps that draw attention to us. As the first book of Kings reminds us today, only when Elijah stops running does he receive God's presence. God does not ask any of us to be a superman, superwoman, or to be geniuses. We're invited to be in the boat because God is also there and He comes to us even in the storms. God will be with us in all trials we face. Maybe not as we expect, but God will be there because He is faithful to His promises. If He says, I will be there, He will be there. You will feel His presence. You cannot see Him, but He will be there. And here in the boat of the church, we do what the disciples did. Once we are in this boat, our responsibility is to be a community with the other passengers. Sometimes you want to push the other passenger off the boat because you don't like him or her. But Jesus says, let him or her stay. We are on the same boat. Sometimes we have evidence. Most of the time, we have the collective wisdom of generations around us. We have a lot of friends in the Old, in the New Testament that we could cling to. If you are especially having some difficulty, you can ask the prophet Elijah. You can use as inspiration Job, who has everything was taken from him. And what did he say? God has given me and God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship and say, truly, you are the Son of God. That's why we come back here every Sunday to be recharged, because our sanctifying grace is depleted every day. When you are out there, someone cuts you off in the highway and you are, you come back here, you receive the Eucharist, you go to confession, and your sanctifying grace is replenished. Liturgical worship calls together the voices of generations who remind us how they endured the storm. The book of Psalms. You can always use the book of Psalms when you are down and low. We have 150 of them. Whatever is your situation during that time, look for any, choose any of one of the 150 Psalms and pray it. The church gives you the friend to share their experiences and the humility to laugh at yourself, especially when you have acted more like Peter, who began sinking in the water because he took his gaze off Jesus. You are doing what God has asked you to do. He asked you to get into the boat and keep rowing. Those of you who like movies, what did Arnold Schwarzenegger say? Get into the chapa. But God is asking you, get into the boat and keep rowing. We should know, as we sing in today's responsorial psalm, that God's salvation is near, that kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. By faith we should know, as St. Paul asserts in today's second reading, that we are heirs to the promises made to His children. And we are all children of God. We must trust that He whispers to us in the trials of our lives, that He who has called us to walk along the way of His steps will save us whenever we begin to sink. And we don't have to panic. We don't have to fear. Because the one who walks on water says to us, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen.